For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Have you ever felt like every day is an exact reflection of the one before? That no matter how hard you try to make changes, you always end up in the same place, trapped in a routine, stuck in a cycle that seems never-ending? And there you are, dissatisfied, overwhelmed by responsibilities and tasks that drain you more and more. It's time to break that pattern once and for all. Today, I'm going to share with you the keys to restarting your life from scratch and rediscovering yourself through Stoic wisdom. No more excuses, no more stagnation, no more feeling trapped. It's time to act and truly transform yourself. Because, my friend, the problem isn't life itself, it's the way you're living it. You wake up every morning, follow the same routine, tell yourself that one day everything will change, but that day never comes. And let me tell you something, it never will unless you do something about it. How much longer are you going to wait? The Stoics understood centuries ago that the key isn't in the chaos around you, but in how you choose to face it. Today we're going to eliminate those limiting beliefs that have kept you stuck, and I'll show you how to apply Stoicism to completely turn your life around. This is the moment. Your new version starts here. Let's get to it. But first, let me tell you a story that will help you understand the power of reinventing yourself and starting fresh. This is the story of Pedro. Pedro worked at a large company in a stable and secure office job. He spent his days in front of a screen, crunching numbers and writing reports for executives he didn't even know in person. For years, he had been caught in the monotony of endless meetings, urgent emails, and repetitive tasks that brought him no excitement. But his true dream was far from that desk. Since he was young, Pedro had always wanted to travel, explore different cultures, and discover new ways of living. He longed for the freedom to work from anywhere in the world, without being tied to an office or rigid schedules. He imagined himself writing in a cafe in Italy, visiting temples in Japan, or enjoying a sunset on a Thai beach after finishing his workday. But as the years passed, he remained stuck in the same place, repeating the same days, feeling like life was slipping through his fingers. Until one day, something changed. As he walked home, he ran into someone he hadn't seen in a long time, his cousin Laura. They greeted each other enthusiastically, caught up on their lives, and then Pedro asked how she had been. Her answer left him speechless. "A few years ago, I decided to completely change my life," Laura said with a smile. "I'm a designer, and I work while traveling the world." Pedro looked at her in disbelief. He couldn't believe that someone close to him was living exactly the life he had always dreamed of. With excitement, Laura explained how her work allowed her to move from country to country without being tied to an office. "Last month I was in Norway, working from a little house in the mountains. Now I've been in Mexico for a few weeks visiting family, but in 2 months I'm heading to Asia. I've always wanted to explore that continent, so I plan to spend some time there." Imagine Pedro, waking up and working with a view of the ocean or the jungle, then going out to explore temples and discover incredible places. "That's how I live now." As he listened to Laura, Pedro felt a mix of admiration and frustration. How had she done it? How had she achieved something he had always considered impossible? He couldn't help but ask her directly, "How did you do it? How did you leave everything behind and start this new life?" Laura smiled and answered honestly, "I realized that if I didn't do it, no one would do it for me. I spent years waiting for the perfect moment until I understood that moment would never come. So, I decided to start with what I had." Pedro listened intently, eager to know every detail. Then, Laura explained the steps she had taken. "First, I learned skills that would allow me to work from anywhere in the world. I had always liked graphic design, so I took online courses and improved my portfolio. Then I started taking on small projects while still working at my full-time job. It wasn't easy, it was exhausting, but every assignment brought me closer to my goal. After that, I minimized my expenses and saved enough to feel secure. I sold what I didn't need and eliminated unnecessary costs. And finally, I created a backup plan. I didn't want to take a leap into the unknown without a safety net, so I secured a stable remote job before making the final move. Pedro remained silent. Laura had done everything he had always wanted to do, but it wasn't luck or magic. The difference between them was the decisions they had made. That very night, instead of lying on the couch and getting lost in his phone, Pedro did something different. He searched for online courses to see how he could adapt his skills to a remote job. He created a savings plan to gather enough money over the next few months. And just like Laura, he designed a backup plan that would allow him to make the transition with confidence. The first few months were tough. Excuses kept creeping in. Fear tried to paralyze him. But every small step he took brought him closer to his dream. He no longer woke up dreading another day of routine. Now, he opened his eyes every morning with the excitement of building a better future. Until one day, the moment finally arrived. There was Pedro at the airport, backpack over his shoulder, a one-way ticket in his hand, and a look of excitement on his face that he hadn't felt in years. Was he scared? Of course. He knew it wouldn't be easy. But he also knew that every effort would be worth it. And now tell me, how much longer are you going to wait? How many more times are you going to let fear and routine steal your excitement? Today, I'm going to show you how you can restart your life from scratch just like Pedro did, because no one will do it for you. If you truly want a new life, you have to go out and get it. Are you ready? Before we continue, if this content is inspiring you to take action and make a real change in your life, consider subscribing and becoming an exclusive member to access unique benefits. And tell us in the comments, what will be the first step you take to completely reinvent yourself? Or simply write, "I am Stoic," to let us know you're one of us. We want to grow together with you. Now, let's begin. 1. Get rid of your old beliefs. Do you know what the biggest obstacle to transforming your life is? Here's a hint. It's not your circumstances, nor the lack of opportunities. It's what you believe about yourself. Think about it for a moment. If you had been told since childhood that you are intelligent, capable, and able to achieve anything you set your mind to, how different would your life be today? But maybe that's not what you heard. Perhaps the messages you received were limits disguised as advice. You can't do that. That's not for you. It's too risky. Without realizing it, you carried those words as if they were absolute truths when, in reality, they were just other people's opinions. The human mind works like an old storage room filled with boxes. Some contain useful memories and valuable lessons that have helped you grow, but many others are packed with limitations, fears and excuses that aren't even yours. They are beliefs inherited from your family, school, and society. Statements like, if you fail, it means you're not good enough. At a certain age, it's too late to start over. If you're not naturally talented, don't even try. Do you realize the weight you carry without questioning it? And the worst part is, you keep carrying it without asking yourself if you actually need it. Do you think a Stoic would accept these invisible chains? Imagine Marcus Aurelius waking up every morning thinking, I can't be a good emperor because I wasn't born with the talent for ruling. Or Epictetus telling himself, I'm a slave, I have no right to decide my fate. If they had thought that way, they would never have changed their course. But they did exactly the opposite. They broke free from the beliefs that limited them and replaced them with unshakable principles. Epictetus couldn't choose his origins, but he could choose his mindset. And that's why his name still echoes centuries later. Now tell me, how many of your beliefs are holding you back without you even realizing it? How many I can'ts? It's not for me. I don't have what it takes. are keeping you from moving forward? Today I want you to try this exercise. Write down three beliefs you have about yourself. Then challenge them. Is this belief truly mine or was it imposed on me? Does it help me move forward or does it keep me stuck? If a friend told me this about themselves, would I believe it? Or would I try to help them see a different perspective? If a belief is limiting you, it's time to get rid of it, just like you throw away the trash every day. Change the way you think, and you will change your life. Because every time you repeat, "I'm not capable," "I can't," "it's not for me," you are reinforcing those invisible chains. But when you decide to tell yourself, "I'm going to learn, I'm going to try, I'm going to prove to myself what I'm capable of," that's when true transformation begins. Clear your mind. Eliminate outdated beliefs. Let go of everything that no longer serves you. Because every limiting idea you remove makes space for new opportunities. And believe me, once you clear out that storage room full of dusty old boxes, you'll realize just how much room you have to build the life you've always wanted, but never allowed yourself to live. 2. Consistency beats motivation. A new project, an ambitious goal, a radical change in your life. At first, everything seems possible. You feel that spark, that excitement pushing you to take the first steps. But then, when the novelty fades and the real effort begins, motivation disappears, and you fall back into the same old patterns. Have you ever wondered why you start with enthusiasm, but rarely make it to the finish line? Let me tell you where the problem lies. You think you need to feel like it to transform your life. But if you rely on motivation, you'll never accomplish anything truly worthwhile. Motivation is like a matchstick. It ignites quickly, burns intensely, but goes out in seconds. Consistency, on the other hand, is a completely different story. Consistency is the real superpower of daily life. It's like a bonfire. It starts with a small spark, but if you feed it every day, it becomes an unstoppable force. If what you're looking for is a complete reset, a deep and lasting change, you don't need more inspiration. You need more discipline. Psychology confirms this. A study from Stanford University revealed that people who rely on motivation to act are more likely to abandon their goals. In contrast, those who focus on discipline and habits achieve sustainable long-term changes. Why? Because they stop depending on whether they feel like it or not. They simply know what they want and do what needs to be done. Think about it for a moment. An ant doesn't wake up every morning wondering if it has the energy to go out and collect food. It doesn't sit in its nest waiting to feel inspired to work. It doesn't waste time negotiating with itself. It simply does what it needs to do, day after day. No excuses, no waiting for motivation. And because of that relentless discipline, it survives, thrives, and builds shelters that allow it to withstand any adversity. If an ant can do it, so can you. The key is to take action. Don't overanalyze, don't make excuses, don't waste time debating with yourself. Just do what you know you need to do. Do you think the great Stoics waited to feel motivated before changing their lives? Zeno of Citium, the founder of Stoicism, lost everything in a shipwreck. He could have lamented his situation. He could have waited for his mood to improve before taking action. But he didn't. Instead of relying on his emotions, he made a decision. His transformation would not depend on how he felt, but on what he did every single day. And that's how one of the most powerful philosophies in history was born. So tell me, how many times have you allowed a lack of motivation to stop you? How many attempts at change have been forgotten simply because they stopped being exciting? It's time to break that cycle. Stop relying on motivation and start building habits. Make it easy for yourself. If you want to write, start with 10 minutes a day without waiting for inspiration. If you want to work out, lay out your clothes the night before to eliminate excuses. If you want to improve at something, practice every day, no matter how you feel. If you truly want to reset your life, you need to do something different from what you've done so far. And that means committing to the process, even on the days when motivation is nowhere to be found. Because in the end, what really matters is not what you do when you're motivated. What defines your future is what you continue to do when the initial excitement is gone. So tell me, are you going to keep waiting to feel inspired? Or are you going to start acting today, like an ant that simply does what needs to be done every single day? 3. Make peace with failure. Failure is not the problem. The real problem is how you react to it. Look at it objectively. Every time you fail, you have two choices. You can use it as an excuse to give up, or you can use it as a stepping stone to improve. What defines your destiny is not whether you fail or not, because everyone fails at some point. What truly matters is what you decide to do with each setback. Think back to a time when you started a project, invested months of effort, and it didn't work out. Maybe you convinced yourself that you weren't cut out for it. Or recall that moment when you studied for weeks for an exam, only to let nerves get the best of you on the big day, leaving you with disappointing results. What did you do afterward? Let me guess. You beat yourself up, told yourself you weren't good enough, and in the end, you walked away from your goal, when in reality you were closer to achieving it than you thought. That is the real problem. It's not failure that holds you back, but how you interpret it. If Marcus Aurelius had believed that an emperor could never make mistakes, he wouldn't have been able to govern through times of crisis and war. If Thomas Edison had given up after his first failed attempts, we wouldn't have the electric light bulb today. And if Epictetus had accepted that a slave had no right to aspire to greatness, he would never have become one of the most influential philosophers in history. Now you see it clearly, right? From the outside, everything seems simpler. But when it comes to ourselves, we rarely see things as they truly are. The key is not to avoid failure, but to learn how to use it to your advantage. Think about it. Every time you fail, your mind gives you an ultimatum. You can either see it as proof that you're not good enough, or you can see it as an opportunity to improve. The difference between those who reinvent themselves and those who remain stuck is how they respond to that ultimatum. A psychology experiment proves this. Carol Dweck, a professor at Stanford University, conducted a study with children who were given difficult math problems to solve. Half of them, when they couldn't figure out the solution, said things like, "I'm not good at this," and gave up. The other half responded completely differently. They said, "I don't get it yet, but I'm going to try again." And with that mindset, little by little, they managed to solve the problems. The difference wasn't intelligence. It was the mindset they had when facing failure. Years later, researchers continued studying these children. Do you know which ones were more successful as adults? Exactly. The ones who saw challenges as opportunities to learn. The ones who understood that failure wasn't an obstacle but a lesson. Now tell me, how many opportunities have you let slip away because you were afraid to fail? How many times have you given up after a single failed attempt, when all you really needed was to persist a little longer? If you truly want to reset your life, you need to do something different. And that means changing your relationship with failure. Here are three rules that can change everything. Every time you fail, ask yourself, "What can I learn from this?" But not to punish yourself, only to improve. Never let failure define who you are. You're not bad at something, you're simply in the process of learning. If something doesn't work, adjust the strategy but keep moving forward. It doesn't mean you can't achieve it, it just means you haven't found the right method yet. Make peace with failure. It's not your enemy. It's proof that you're making progress. Lesson 4. Carrying what's already in the past. The past. That silent enemy that hurts us over and over again, even though it's no longer part of our present. We cling to what happened, and the worst part is, we don't even realize how much we're weighed down by things we can no longer change. Some time ago, I ran into an old friend. The moment I saw him, I noticed something was off. He tried to smile, but his posture gave him away. It was as if he carried an invisible weight on his shoulders. We sat down to talk, and as soon as I asked how he was doing, he let out a deep sigh. "I feel like I'm stuck," he said, his gaze lost, like someone trapped in an endless loop. "If only I could go back and do things differently, He told me how he still punished himself for a relationship that ended badly. He blamed himself for every mistake, every careless word, every wrong decision. But it wasn't just that. He was still holding on to opportunities he let slip away, choices he once believed were right but now saw as major regrets. I looked at him for a moment and said something that left him in silence. "The problem isn't what happened. The problem is that you're still living there." Because that's what was truly destroying him, not the past itself, but his inability to let it go. Marcus Aurelius said it perfectly. If something external causes you pain, it is not that thing itself that troubles you, but your judgment about it. And you have the power to change that judgment right now. Do you realize the power in that statement? The past is not what's hurting you. What truly hurts is the way you keep replaying it in your mind. And the worst part? Holding on to it is like trying to run with a rope tied around your waist. Every time you try to move forward, something pulls you back. It keeps you stuck. It won't let you restart your life. It traps you in a permanent pause mode. And instead of cutting the rope, most people just keep pulling on it, wondering why they never get anywhere. So tell me, how much longer? How much longer are you going to keep looking back, reliving the same mistakes, punishing yourself for things you cannot change? I asked my friend that question to make him think. Months passed and I didn't see him again, until one day we crossed paths once more. But this time something was different. He looked lighter, as if for the first time in years he could breathe without carrying that old weight. "You dropped the backpack, didn't you?" I asked with a smile. He nodded and replied, "I always had the option to do it. I just didn't want to accept it before." Because here's the truth no one wants to hear. The past isn't holding you back. You are the one still holding on to it. If you truly want to reset your life, you need to understand something fundamental. What's done is done. It's not just a line from a song. It's an undeniable truth. No matter how many times you replay it in your head, you can't rewrite the past. But you can decide what to do with it from this moment forward. So here are three truths to help you finally let go of that weight. The past does not define who you are. It only defines who you used to be. Today, you have the power to decide who you will become. What happened no longer exists. The only thing left is the meaning you choose to give it. You cannot move forward if you keep looking backward. Drop the rope. Cut the ties. Stop carrying what no longer belongs to you. So tell me, are you going to stay chained to what was, or are you finally ready to start building what can be? If there's something from your past that still weighs you down, share it in the comments. Think of it as a commitment to yourself, that from today on, you choose to let it go. 5. Start over as many times as necessary. How many times have you told yourself it's too late? How many times have you thought that after so many failures, it's no longer worth trying? Let me be direct with you. That is the biggest lie you can tell yourself. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you are in life right now. Do you know the only thing that truly matters? How many times you're willing to get back up? And believe me, I know this firsthand. There was a time in my life when I felt like there was no point in continuing. I bet everything on a project, on an idea I deeply believed in, and I failed. Not just once, but multiple times. And with every failure, my confidence shattered even more. At one point, I asked myself if it was even worth trying again, or if I should just accept that maybe I wasn't cut out for it. I remember one night in particular. After yet another failed attempt, I sat in the dark, exhausted and out of strength to start over. I felt like a sandcastle constantly destroyed by the waves, unable to hold its shape before being washed away again. But in that moment, once again, I turned to the Stoics. It is not because things are difficult that we do not dare. It is because we do not dare that they are difficult. Seneca. Those words hit me like lightning. How many times do we stop trying just because we convince ourselves that it's impossible? That thought completely changed my perspective. It was my turning point. I realized I had lost nothing. The only real defeat would have been staying there, feeling sorry for myself. So I decided to try one more time, and again, and again. And with every new attempt, I learned, I improved, until one day, what once seemed impossible started to take shape. And here's where science backs this up. A Stanford University study found that people with a growth mindset see failures as part of the learning process. To them, failing doesn't mean they aren't good enough. It simply means they haven't found the right way yet. And those are the people who, in the end, achieve success. If you want to restart your life, you have to accept that many times you'll return to square one. And no, this is not a setback. Think of it as an endless reinvention. Like restarting a level in your favorite video game or rereading that book that inspires you every time. Because as the Stoics taught us, a person is not defined by their failed attempts, but by how many times they try again. So every time you think about giving up, remember this. It doesn't matter how many times you have to start over. What truly matters is that you never stay stuck, because every new beginning is proof that you still believe in yourself. And that, my friend, is the only thing you really need. 6. Don't let anything external control your mind. Tell me, who really has control over your life? Think about it for a moment. Don't answer automatically. Really reflect on it. If your mood depends on what others say, if one negative comment can ruin your entire day, if you change your decisions because you're afraid of what people will think, then let me tell you something. You are not the one controlling your mind. And the worst part? Most people live this way, like ships adrift, letting every wave dictate their direction. A bad day at work and their mood crashes. One criticism and their self-esteem crumbles. A minor setback and they feel like their entire world is falling apart. How many times has this happened to you? Think about that friend who always says, "I'm in a bad mood because my boss is an idiot. I can't be happy because my partner doesn't understand me." Or that relative who, at every family dinner, complains about how the government, the weather, or the economy is ruining their life. From the outside, it's easy to see, right? These people have handed over their peace of mind and happiness to external factors, as if they have no control over their own lives. But tell me, do you think a Stoic would accept living like that? Imagine Seneca sitting in a Roman Senate session, surrounded by political rivals trying to discredit him. They mock him, accuse him, and attempt to provoke him. Many people in his place would have reacted with anger. Others would have felt humiliated or defeated. But what do you think Seneca did? Did he shout back at his opponents? Did he insult them in return? No, my friend. You and I both know he didn't. Seneca simply observed them with calm.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
With unshakable serenity. Not because he didn't care, but because he understood one fundamental truth. The only thing truly within his control was his own reaction. He controlled his mind, his adversaries did not. And don't get me wrong, this isn't about ignoring what happens around you. It's about deciding how much weight you give it in your life. Marcus Aurelius put it perfectly. If something external affects you, it is not the thing itself that disturbs you, but your judgment about it. And you have the power to change that judgment right now. Science backs this up. Cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, developed by Aaron Beck, has Stoic roots and teaches how to change our perception of what happens to us. A simple way to do this is through the following method. Identify the thought that's disturbing you. Ask yourself, what story am I telling myself about this situation? Challenge it. Is this an automatic reaction? Am I exaggerating the problem? Is it really beyond my control? Reframe it. Instead of thinking, this is a disaster, say, this is just a temporary inconvenience that does not define my life. Take back control. If you truly want to reset your life, you need to protect your mind. If someone criticizes you, let them. Their words do not change who you are or what you're capable of. If things don't go as planned, move forward. Not everything is within your control, but your reaction always is. And if you ever feel like something external is controlling you, stop and ask yourself, why am I giving this so much power? Nothing from the outside should have control over you. You decide now and always. So tell me, are you going to keep letting external factors dictate your life? Or are you finally going to take back control, like a true Stoic? 7. Surround yourself with the right people. Let me tell you a story that didn't start with hope. It's a story of poverty, abuse, and an environment that seemed to dictate a future with no way out. It's the story of a young girl who grew up surrounded by scarcity. Her home was dysfunctional, full of conflict, and all she ever heard around her was how hard life was, how impossible it was to change, and how ridiculous it was to dream of something better. No one in her environment was trying to succeed. No one had ambitions. No one expected anything different from life. And how could she be blamed for believing her fate was already written? When all you see around you is limitation, you start to believe there's no other path. When you grow up hearing, "People like us never make it far. It's not worth trying." That's just the way life is. Your mind fills with invisible barriers that keep you from seeing beyond your surroundings. For years, her daily life reflected the world she lived in. She spent afternoons watching meaningless TV shows because no one in her home talked about books or learning anything new. No one talked about opportunities or the future. And when she went outside, she did so with fear, because all she saw in the streets was struggle and violence. Her environment told her that life was just about surviving. But one day, something changed. Someone saw her potential and encouraged her to try something new. At first, she doubted herself. What for? But deep inside, a part of her had always felt there had to be something more. So, little by little, she started making small changes. Instead of wasting time on distractions, she started reading. And for the first time, books showed her something she had never seen in her world. Proof that different ways of living existed. Instead of surrounding herself with people full of conflict, she sought conversations with those who had ambitions. People who talked about growth instead of limitations. She started spending time with different people, not those trapped in misery, but those who were working toward something bigger. And as soon as she changed her environment, her mindset changed too. If I told you who she was, you'd understand that the rest is history. That young girl was Oprah Winfrey. If she had stayed surrounded by the same people, listening to the same voices telling her she had no options, she never would have become who she is today. She changed her circle, and by doing so, she changed her destiny. Because your environment is not just a reflection of your life. It's a magnet. It pulls you in, conditions you, and drags you in the same direction as the majority. So tell me, how do you expect to change your life if you're still surrounded by the same people keeping you in the same place? How do you expect to start fresh if you're moving among those who only see the end? Seneca understood this perfectly. Spending time with bad people makes you bad as well. However, being around honest people will only bring you benefit, even if you didn't seek it. If you spend your days with people who only complain, you'll end up seeing life the same way. If you surround yourself with people who settle for mediocrity, you'll eventually put a ceiling over your own head. If your environment is full of people saying, "It's impossible," how do you expect to believe that it is possible? It doesn't make sense. It's like trying to swim with an anchor tied to your foot. No matter how hard you try, the weight will pull you down. How do you change this? Start by observing. Look around and ask yourself, are the people I spend time with helping me grow or holding me back? Then, seek out environments where people have the mindset you want to develop. If you want to grow, surround yourself with people who think big. If you want to learn, connect with those who never stop learning. If you want to be strong, build strength alongside those who refuse to give up. And one more thing, don't be afraid to walk away from those who hold you back. That doesn't mean you hate them. That doesn't mean you look down on them. It simply means you have decided to grow. If Oprah had never changed her environment, her story would have ended the same way it began. But she made the choice to surround herself with the right people, and the rest is history. So tell me, what story are you going to write? A story of settling and complaining, or a story of growth and possibility? 8. Don't fool yourself. Complaining is not your friend. If complaining actually solved anything, wouldn't the world already be perfect? Sometimes it feels like complaining is the national sport, everyone does it all the time. But tell me, have you ever truly changed your life just by complaining? Think about it carefully. Nothing is easier than sitting down and saying, "This is unfair. Things shouldn't be this way. If I had better luck, everything would be different." But while you talk, nothing changes. While you complain, you stay in the same place. Imagine holding a glass with a small hole at the bottom. Every time you complain, it's like trying to fill it with water, hoping that, eventually, it will stay full. But it never does. Because complaining is a constant drain on your energy. Everything you pour into it is lost. The trap of complaining. And here's what no one tells you. The more you complain, the more you train your brain to keep doing it. Neuroscience proves this. When you constantly complain, the neurons responsible for those thoughts reinforce each other. It's like a muscle you exercise every day. Over time, it gets stronger and more automatic. Without realizing it, you turn complaining into your natural response to every problem. But don't panic, because the opposite is also true. If you decide to stop complaining, your brain changes. It starts looking for solutions instead of problems. Studies show that people who reduce their complaints and focus their energy on action experience less stress, greater mental clarity, a stronger sense of control over their lives. So tell me, what do you prefer? A brain that reinforces your victim mentality, or a brain that trains you to move forward? Epictetus understood this clearly. It is not things that disturb us, but our opinions about them. Don't forget, Epictetus was a slave for most of his life. If he managed to break free from the habit of complaining, what excuse do you have not to do the same? It's not traffic that makes you angry, it's your interpretation of it. It's not the lack of opportunities that frustrates you, it's how you decide to handle it. Complaining doesn't change reality, it only changes your mental state and makes it worse. The mindset of those who move forward. People who truly change their lives do something simple. They take responsibility. They accept what they cannot change. They take action on what is within their control. So here's a challenge for you. What if just for today you decided not to complain about anything? If the day is cloudy, instead of saying "what terrible weather," move forward with your plans. If traffic is unbearable, instead of getting frustrated, use the time to learn something new with an audiobook. If things don't go as expected, instead of cursing, ask yourself, "What can I do now?" These may seem like small changes, but believe me, this is the difference between a person who transforms their life and one who stays stuck in complaints. One wastes energy on words, the other invests energy in action. Marcus Aurelius said it clearly. Stop debating what a good person should be, just be one. Complaining is the chain keeping you stuck in the same place. It's time to shatter it into 1,000 pieces and move forward into your new life. 9. The magic of habits. If you truly want to reinvent yourself, forget about overnight transformations. Don't fall for the ads that promise instant change. Real transformation doesn't happen in a single moment. It happens through the small actions you repeat every day. Think of a tree. It doesn't become strong overnight. Its roots don't suddenly appear. Its trunk doesn't grow robust in an instant. Every drop of water, every ray of sunlight, every tiny bit of growth adds up over time. That's how it grows, slowly but unstoppably. And that's exactly how real transformation happens in your life. Your life is the reflection of your habits. Your life is not just the result of big decisions, it's a mirror of the small habits you build daily. The key is in systems, not just goals. James Clear, in his book Atomic Habits, explains a fundamental principle. You do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. What does this mean? It means that no matter how much you want to change your life, if you keep repeating the same mistakes every day, nothing will change. If you want different results, you need different habits. And here's the secret. Progress isn't measured in big leaps, but in small, consistent improvements. In his book, Clear teaches a powerful concept, the 1% rule. If you improve by just 1% every day, the transformation over a year is massive. But if you decline by 1% every day, the damage adds up just as fast. Are you moving in the right direction? Everything you do is taking you somewhere. The question is, are you moving in the direction you actually want? The Stoics understood this principle centuries before it became popular. Seneca insisted that reading about virtue and self-discipline isn't enough. You must practice them daily. Because greatness is not a destination. It is the result of small, repeated actions done with consistency. You don't become strong by training for just one day. You don't become wise by reading just one book. Everything is a matter of repetition. The battle between comfort and growth. And I know what you're thinking. It's easier to watch Netflix before bed than to read a book that helps you grow. It's more fun to play video games for hours than to work on your purpose. It's more comfortable to stay the same. But here's the real question. Would you rather choose comfort and entertainment, or growth and reinvention? If you truly want to reset your life, take this question seriously. And if you're ready to take the challenge, here are the keys to building habits that will truly transform you. Two key lessons for building powerful habits. James Clear gives us two fundamental principles in his book. 1. Design your environment to work in your favor. If you want to stop wasting time on your phone, put it in another room while you work. If you want to start working out, don't rely on motivation. Prepare your gym clothes the night before and make it as easy as possible to go. 2. Make the habit part of your identity. Instead of saying, "I want to read more," tell yourself, "I am a person who never stops learning." Instead of saying, "I want to be disciplined," say, "I am someone who always does what needs to be done." Because when you identify with who you want to be, it becomes natural. The Stoics didn't see discipline as a sacrifice. It was their essence. Marcus Aurelius didn't need motivation to write his reflections every morning. Epictetus didn't need reminders to practice patience and self-control. They had turned it into their way of life. The magic of habits. If you truly want to reset your life, don't wait for a moment of inspiration. Build habits that take you where you want to be. Because that's the magic of habits. You don't need to change your entire life all at once. You just need to do something better today and repeat it tomorrow. 10. Do what you must, not what's easy. The easy path is always there, whispering in your ear. It's okay, you can do it tomorrow. Take a break, you'll get to it later. And of course, who doesn't love comfort? It's easy to sleep a little longer when your bed is warm. It's tempting to hit snooze and put off that change you know you need to make. What's hard is getting up and taking action when no one is forcing you to. But here's something you need to understand. If you always choose what's easy, your life will become hard. Easy choices or hard choices? You've probably heard this phrase before. Easy choices lead to a hard life. Hard choices lead to an easy life. Because discipline is not a prison, it is freedom. The Stoics knew this well. Epictetus said, "If you want to improve, be prepared to be ridiculed, despised, and looked at like a fool. But do not let that stop you." The world is full of people looking for shortcuts and instant rewards. And the most ironic part, They then wonder why they don't have the life they want. But tell me, do you want to be like the majority? Doing what you must, even when you don't feel like it, is what separates you from the rest. Michelangelo and the Sistine Chapel. Think about the sculptor Michelangelo. Did you know that he didn't even like painting? Yes, you read that right. The genius behind the Sistine Chapel preferred sculpture over painting. And yet, he spent 4 years painting the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. 4 years of discomfort, of back pain, of exhaustion from paint dripping into his eyes. Do you think he woke up every morning excited to climb the scaffolding and spend hours in an awkward position? Of course not. But he did it anyway, because he knew the masterpiece he was creating was worth more than his momentary discomfort. What's your excuse? Now tell me, what's your excuse for not doing what you know you need to do? If you truly want to reset your life, you can't keep avoiding what's hard. Hard is the way forward. Here are three strategies to help you push through on days when motivation fails. 1. Shift your mindset. Stop waiting to feel like it. If you committed to working out, studying, or building something important, do it whether you feel like it or not. 2. Do the hardest task first. What you avoid the most is exactly what will make you grow the most. Once you tackle the hardest part of your day, everything else feels lighter. 3. Remind yourself of this every day. Every time you choose what's easy, you choose to stay the same. Every time you choose what's hard, you choose to move forward. Marcus Aurelius and the Cold Roman Mornings. Marcus Aurelius understood this perfectly. He didn't want to wake up early on freezing Roman mornings. Like anyone, he felt the temptation to stay under his warm covers. But he told himself, "Did I wake up to stay in bed or to do the work of a human being? Because in the end, life doesn't reward you for what you say you will do. It rewards you for what you actually do." Say goodbye to comfort. Start doing what you must, because once you do, your transformation will be inevitable. 11th, turn off autopilot. Have you ever noticed how you live your days? The alarm goes off. You turn it off without thinking. You check your phone before even getting out of bed. You prepare for a day that feels exactly like the one before. You go to work or complete your tasks without questioning anything. You come home, distract yourself with whatever is in front of you, and repeat the cycle. Day after day, week after week, months on autopilot. Until one day, you realize that years have passed and you're still in the exact same place. Now be honest with yourself. How many times have you done something without even remembering the exact moment you did it? How many times have you finished your day without being able to point out what you actually did to move closer to the life you want? That's the problem with autopilot. It keeps you busy but doesn't let you move forward. Why do we live like this? Psychology has proven that the human brain constantly seeks efficiency. That's why it automates behaviors. Psychologist and Nobel Prize winner Daniel Kahneman explained this through his theory of two thinking systems. System 1, fast, automatic, and emotional. System 2, slow, conscious, and rational. If you let System 1 dominate your life, you become someone who just reacts instead of someone who makes decisions. And we already know what happens when you don't make conscious choices. You will never be able to redirect your life. The Stoics knew this long before science did. Marcus Aurelius was not an emperor who let the routine of power consume him. Every morning before starting his day, he wrote in his meditations. He reflected on his purpose and prepared himself for what was to come. But imagine if he hadn't done that. Imagine Marcus Aurelius waking up without thinking, attending meetings without questioning anything, signing documents without reflection, returning to his chambers at night without having made a single conscious decision. He wouldn't have been Marcus Aurelius. He would have been a pawn in his own life. But he didn't allow autopilot to control his existence. Instead, every day he took control. He asked himself key questions. What challenges will I face today? What kind of person do I want to be? Am I acting with virtue, or am I just letting the day pass by? How to escape autopilot. Think about this. How many times have you made a decision just because it was the easiest option, without asking yourself if it was truly the best for you? If you take my advice, that way of living ends today. If you truly want to reset your life, the first thing you must do is turn off autopilot. Here are three key steps according to psychology. 1. Question everything. Before doing something, ask yourself, am I choosing this or is it just a meaningless habit? 2. Break the routine. Do something different every day. Take a new route to work. Try a new hobby. Challenge the inertia that keeps you stuck. 3. Give your mornings meaning. Don't start the day like a machine. Spend a few minutes deciding how you want to live your day. Don't let the world decide for you, because in the end, either you take control of your life or someone else will. And when you look back years from now, don't let it be to regret all the time you wasted on autopilot. Let it be to feel proud of the person you became. Now tell me, what part of your life is still on autopilot? Leave it in the comments. I want to know what's the first thing you're going to change. And stay with me a little longer, because now comes the key to personal reinvention. 12th, act as if you already are the person you want to be. My friend, this is the difference between staying stuck in the attempt or becoming the person you truly want to be. Because everything we've talked about so far won't matter if you still see yourself as someone who wants to change instead of someone who is already changing. Your mind is the engine of everything. If you believe you're weak, you'll act like someone weak. If you tell yourself you can't do something, your body and actions will follow that command. But if you start thinking and acting like the person you want to become, everything around you will start aligning with that version of you. Psychology calls this the self-identity effect. Psychologist Robert Cialdini demonstrated that people act according to the identity they believe they have. If you see yourself as a disciplined person, you'll start acting like one. If you tell yourself you are strong, you'll start making decisions like a strong person. And this isn't just modern theory. Centuries ago, Epictetus put it clearly. First, decide who you will be, then do what you must do. The Stoics didn't wait until they felt ready. They acted like the person they wanted to be until they became them. Fake it till you make it, but with wisdom. Imagine someone who repeats these phrases to themselves every day. I'm a failure. I always mess things up. I'll never achieve anything. What do you think happens? Their mind accepts it as truth, and their life shapes itself around that belief. If they're already convinced there's no point in trying, why put in the effort? Now imagine that same person starts repeating, I am capable. I'm improving every day. My actions create my destiny. At first, they won't feel like it's true. But if they start acting accordingly, if they make decisions aligned with that new identity, if they build habits that reinforce their new self-image, sooner or later that identity will become real. Think of yourself as a statue inside a block of marble. Every action, every decision, every thought is a chisel strike. If you hit without direction, the figure will never emerge. But if you strike with intention, consistency, and vision, sooner or later, the masterpiece will appear. The challenge: start acting like your best version. What would happen if starting today you acted as if you were already the person you want to become? If you want to be disciplined, act like a disciplined person. Don't wait until you feel motivated. If you want confidence, speak and move as if you already have it. Your mind will follow. If you want success, think and decide like someone who is already on the way to achieving it. Marcus Aurelius said it best, "The happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts." If you change how you think and act today, you'll leave behind who you were and step into who you were always meant to be. True transformation happens when you live it. It's not about waiting for the perfect moment to change your life. It's about taking steps every day toward your new self. Reinvention is not a one-time event, it's a daily choice, and every thought, every decision, every small habit, everything builds the life you truly desire. Now tell me, are you ready to act like your best version? If you made it this far, prove you're committed to your transformation by writing in the comments, "I become my best version." That way, I'll know who the real warriors of Alma Estoica are, those who made it to the end. Don't forget to subscribe, turn on notifications, and like this episode so you don't miss what's coming next. Also, explore our episode list. It's full of ideas, stories, and wisdom to help you face life with strength and confidence. Click and let's keep moving forward together. Until our next talk, stay strong and keep embracing your stoic self.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.